Hit one.
You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out.
I can dig
you know
it.
What I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to share. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
What's up, E? You there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, so good, man. You guys, you enjoyed most of our show today, and we're just doing kind of a special edition recap of I've done this a few times, but never right after the show. So today's show, just to give a quick setup, and we'll get right in. We ain't gonna belinger this thing. But today's show was LGBTQIA+. How many letters do we need? Feature a special guest co-host Latrice Ross, as well as special guest Dr. Sanjata. Latrice is a diversity consultant, and Dr. Sanjata is the owner of Grow Dialogue, which is a format that's really dedicated to anti-oppression and authentic dialogue. So both of our guests were excellent, but you were listening to the show, didn't get a chance to call in and have some thoughts that I thought was worthy of consideration because, you know, as we do with all our dialogues, we try to give all perspectives, and since you weren't able to get your dialogue in, I thought it was worth kind of hearing, you know, just getting some of these thoughts in this recap, if you will. So, when you called me, you was like, I didn't really enjoy that show. So speak to what made you say that, considering you said that, you know, you didn't feel like it was the typical back and forth of all perspectives. I think it's kind of what you said to me, but I'll let you kind of speak for yourself.
Yeah, it wasn't that I didn't necessarily enjoy the show. I was kind of being a little funny with that. But, yeah, it was just like I expected some other points to be brought up that weren't brought up. And, you know, that's all it was. It was something. I don't think it was 2 hours probably wasn't long enough to really to discuss everything. I mean, it's a huge issue and
right.
topic. So, and that's usually the case with most of these big topics like that. So,
yeah. I definitely wanted to do another hour, even at the end of 2 hours or whatever. So I definitely can feel you on that. So one area, that I remember was the idea of, I thought Dr. Sanjata had made an excellent point when he was saying this, just kind of, he's kind of made it almost as a side note. He was like, just this idea of people saying, I don't care what you do, or I can be tolerant of your lifestyle, whatever, wherever you may fall on that spectrum of the LGBTQIA community, whatever. However, I disagree with you. And when he said it, it kind of stood out to me, and I agreed with him initially because it was more like, yeah, like I said, I kind of said it a lot on the show once he was kind of breaking down his logic. I was like, yeah, that's kind of true. This was my response, because as I was listening to him, I was like, yeah, what is there to disagree with? And what I was thinking when I said that to myself was, right, if I have no problem about what you're doing, then I don't also need to now add on the fact that I disagree with your lifestyle. So I felt it from that perspective, and I think you see it from another perspective that now makes sense to me as well. So I wanted to kind of hear you break down why it's okay to say you disagree with, I tolerate you, but I disagree with it. Why do you think that's okay to say?
Yeah, I mean, tolerating and agreeing is two different things, right? So I can, and I think tolerate even implies almost to a certain degree that there is a disagreement, because I'm tolerating something. It doesn't mean that I'm accepting it necessarily as something that's okay with me within my person and who I am and my spirit. But I agree. I also disagree with the unfair or negative treatment of people just because of whatever it is they decide to believe or a lifestyle that they decide to live. Just like with us as African Americans, we fought for the right to be treated equally under the law, right? So anybody's disagreement with who we are, if you're prejudice or racist against me because I'm dark skinned, then that's on you, as long as you don't have any type of influence or any, you don't have the power to negatively impact me as far as my life, my well-being, my family, my livelihood, and those type of things. So yeah, you're free to have your opinion of me, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me at all. But when you have the ability to then affect my life and you use your negative opinion or your prejudice to do that, then that's where we have a problem. And that's what I say with, you know, the LGBT community, whatever. I don't agree with anybody being unfairly treated under the law. We live in a so-called democracy, right? Mm-hmm. I can still have my own personal preferences. And by me voicing my preference, in a sense, to me, that even shows more how fair I am, because I'm saying I personally don't accept this or agree with it or think it's right or acceptable even. But I'm going to fight for your right to be able to do it, because that's the place we live in. That's the society that we live in. Nobody has the right to mistreat you, to discriminate against you, to unfairly cause you harm in any kind of way, whether that be physical, financial, emotional, otherwise. So I'm not gonna support that. But at the same time, personally, no, I don't agree with this. It's like I could say personally, I don't agree with somebody. You know, I'm Muslim. I don't agree with people eating pork, right? Mm-hmm. What difference does it make that I don't agree with you eating pork? None. You still have the right to do it, and nobody's gonna infringe on that right for you to do it. Right, I can still say I don't do it. I don't agree with it, but hey, have at it if that's right. What you want.
Right. So yeah, well yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, it could only, you know, using your fork example, it could only be an issue if, you know, you here being here in the United States, if you decided to use your, you know, get together with, you know, other Muslims in this country, right, and start making laws that makes other people in this country based on this way it's set up now. Making laws where other people couldn't be poor. So it would have to take that level in order to be wrong, whereas you don't agree with people that eat pork, you disagree with it, but you respect their right to be able to eat it. And, yeah, to your point, like I know we talked about this, like even Dr. Sinjata in highlighting that, at least I hope I'm giving him the correct context, in highlighting this, because he called it the kind of like the arrogance of saying I disagree, you know, with your lifestyle, and again, I wouldn't give it in the proper context. Now that I hear you explain it the way you're explaining it, I hear it as you're doing exactly what you also asked on the show, is stand on your bias. So in this situation, right, in disagreeing with their lifestyle, you're actually doing what he asked. I disagree with your lifestyle. So now you can... Now he's able to do what he said, clearly see where you stand and realize, because he said these words are misaligned. So it's almost like, again, I'll have to go back and listen to the show to be fair, 100% fair to him. But it was, it's just, again, that's what we do here, just dialogue and, you know, and so it's definitely worthy of thought, because that's ultimately you're doing what he asked. So, yeah, it does, I had never thought of it the way he put it. But people are quick to say, I disagree with your lifestyle. And when he put it the way he put it today, I was like, yeah, why is it even necessary to say that? And the reason I said that, because I'm saying what you're saying right now makes sense to me. But the reason I initially agreed with him is because, you know, me personally, I really, you know, like even the idea of being, like, I don't tolerate them. I literally have no problem. So for me, you see what I'm saying? So I'm not even in the tolerate them category. I'm in the, I literally have no problem. So for me, it doesn't make sense for me to fix my mouth to say I disagree. However, I have to respect you have 100% right to disagree. Because like you said, it's like the Stokely Carmichael, you know, comment about lynching. He's like, I could care less if a white man wants to lynch me. I only care if he has the ability to freely without consequence.
Right. And in that situation, the government was doing things that were against our human and civil rights. Right. So, yeah, I completely disagree with that. Just like for example, in the abortion debate. Right. I can totally disagree with abortion as a concept. Right. But also at the same time, not feel like the government has the right to make the decision on whether or not somebody can choose to have one.
And I agree with that. I've said that on the show a couple years ago when we did the abortion conversation, that while I personally don't agree with it, I don't have any concept of why the government should be involved between a decision that
between the woman, her doctor, and the man that she made the baby with.
Right, because that's the one thing I've had an issue with, you know, prior to this issue Roe v. Wade coming back up again like it has in the last couple of months. What I said a couple of years ago was, but nor should she be able to do it without the man involved. Like I agree with that.
Right.
Yeah, that's been okay up until the point, because the decision should be left just to those two. The government should have no involvement, but it also, if there's going to be some type of involvement, it should be only to require that it's both parties making the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the right of the mother and the father. In that sense,
right,
I wouldn't mind the government, if they were going to touch it, just require that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if I'm creating a slippery slope by even having the government require it. You feel me? But but at this point, with the way things have been, where that wasn't necessary, I know I've never agreed with it being okay with it being a linear decision. But even my personal agreement, I don't know if I would be wanting the government to get that involved. But really, like I agree with you, the government involvement is so unnecessary, and I think you're making that same analogy with this LGBTQIA conversation. So to kind of bring that back, you're just distinguishing, at the end of the day, even if my agreement or disagreement with your lifestyle, regardless of whether who's right or who's wrong, it is absolutely your right to your opinion for whatever reason. And I think, the reason we end up doing this dialogue is, although Latrice or Dr. Sinjata would have no issue with your personal opinion, part of the issue that didn't get brought up, which is what made you want to do this recap, was we didn't really highlight how there are aspects within the LGBTQIA community that are now almost being intolerant of your right to your opinion. And we're seeing that all the way down to cancellation of stars, and if they're willing to go as far as possible to equate people's livelihoods over a difference of opinion. Again, it didn't come up on the show because Dr. Sinjata or Latrice, neither one of them would agree with that type of stuff happening. But the truth is, it's happening, and that's one thing that we missed on today's dialogue. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. The extremes are winning. Their voices are the main ones being heard. So the extremes on one side are the people who just want all of these different lifestyles to just be completely erased and ignored. And even the really extreme want harm to come to these people, right, because of their lifestyle choices. Then the other extreme is, no, you not only have to tolerate, be accepting, but you have to agree with, and if you don't, if you express a dissenting opinion, then we're going to come after you in your livelihood, in your your family, your social interactions, and even your life in the very extreme. And you know, like we're saying, like Macy Gray and some of these other people, J.K. Rowling, whatever, had death threats and rape threats. So they're putting themselves in the position of the oppressor now. You know, they've gone from the oppressed to the oppressor, where they're saying, if you don't agree, if you express an opinion not agreeing with us and our lifestyle, then we're going to affect your life, your livelihood, your social status, all these different things, which is what we're fighting against by the oppressors, from the oppressors that, you know, you don't have the right to, or you shouldn't have the right to affect those aspects of my life because of who I am, right? And they're doing the exact same thing. And that's where, and it's not the majority. I won't say it's the majority because it's usually never the majority of people that are on the extreme fringes of either of any debate or argument, right? Most people are somewhere in the middle where yeah, I don't care. Do it, do you, whatever you want to do. But just don't try to make me come to a point where I have to not only tolerate but agree and accept it as right. That's where we come to a point where we say, look, man, hey, what is your point? Why? I mean, just like the racist example, you don't have to agree that I'm equal to you, but you don't. If you have the power to be able to affect my livelihood, then you can't allow your prejudice to infringe upon my human right. And that's the problem. You know, if you're infringing on somebody else's human rights, then there's a problem. If you're not doing that, then it's not a problem. So they're in a position now that we see it. If they deem somebody to have, you know, just Macy Gray, the latest one, expressed her opinion, a woman is somebody with boobs and a vagina. Oh, now she's a transphobe, she's a homophobe, she's a bigot, she's this, that, but and you shouldn't support her music, you shouldn't do anything, and worse, you should maybe, you know, we're threatening her life with death. Now, that's ridiculous.
Then you're effectively becoming the very thing
that they're fighting against.
Right. And I'm trying to find, James Baldwin has an amazing quote that says that, that very thing, because I know Zendaya called in, and I think you agree with this as well. You didn't agree with the equating of, if you will, the black quote-unquote struggle with the LGBTQIA struggle, or, you know, equating those things.
Mm-hmm.
As well, but this quote, if I can find it, I'm feeling right now I'm having trouble finding it. But yeah, well, even without finding it, he just basically says, Rick Baldwin just makes a quote where he says, you know, the last thing we want to do is become, you know, the very thing that we've seen done to us or whatever. He has a beautiful quote that kind of explains the why you don't want to as well. But mm-hmm. but what it does prove, in a sense, I always call it, you know, it's because now, to your point, it's moving beyond even just the echo chambers of saying you can't even say you disagree, which is crazy in itself, right? Just
mm-hmm.
that you're just saying the wrong thing could have so many consequences, but the consequences are moving to the degree that what the extreme people that are willing to do this, that are willing to cancel, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is they're proving that they just want the positioning.
Mm-hmm.
You still saying so? What happens is okay with the oppressive hierarchy, you're just on the bad end of the stick, and so
right.
You flip the power, you will gladly do the same thing.
Yeah, so, we've seen this before. I mean, it's just like. Let's say during the Civil Rights Movement, since a lot of people want to equate this with race, you know, Civil Rights was about, and even as far as, you know, with Malcolm X, when he was a part of the nation, it was even, he described as human rights, not even civil rights.
Right.
But there was never a push for black people to be able to treat white people the way they were treating us. It was only a push for us to be treated the same by the legal system and the laws of the country. And not have those laws
disregarded,
right? Disregarded when it comes to us, right? And then, you know, the nation went so far as, you know, wanting to separate and have their own. But even with that, it wasn't a situation of we want to be able to establish our own, so then we can come back and
overpower
you or overpower you and treat you the way you've treated us. No, that was never the case. We want to be able to just live
freely,
how everybody else lives freely,
right,
without.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
which is a major point when you think about, like you said, even if you bring in the nation, is even a major point when you think about even in their rhetoric, right, if you will, because they got highlighted on it was a documentary that was done on them, a television expose on them. It was something like the hate that something built. I think it was what it was called. That's
mm-hmm.
what I heard. when it kind of came into prominence, you know, because prior to that, they were kind of dead, and most of the world, most of the country didn't know about them. But something, the hate that something built was the name of it. But even in that, so clearly it was, you know, I can imagine how disturbing that would have been to white America, hearing them call white people devils and all that kind of stuff. But to your point, even in that language of saying that the only goal was to, in a sense, be autonomous. And so while it had to be disturbing for white America to hear that type of language, to your point, even with what they were asking for, in reality, shouldn't even be seen as a problem.
Now, we the language was a problem. The language was a problem because it was so shocking and so in your face. And that was one thing that they went to the extreme. And that's, you know, things that I don't agree with, of course. But they went to the other extreme of, you know, where white people were saying we were not human. They went to the extreme of even calling white people devils and black people gods. You know, and this is, of course, that's the other extreme of it.
But
right?
Here it is.
And that's the problem when you go to extremes.
I'm pointing out that in the extreme, which I think is to your point, but even that extreme did not include what we're seeing today. I think you should have said that's your point.
Right.
So while they went extreme in rhetoric, but even their Yeah, but their ask was never to be in position to return the favor, which is your point to the extremes in the LGBTQIA communities to the extent that you can't even offer your honest, different of opinion, which in reality, we all can have an opinion, whether we like it, disagree with it or not. I think I'm hearing you say, and I agree with you, that they're shouting you down from even having an opinion. But, but beyond shouting you down from having an opinion, positioning themselves to come after your livelihood if need be, based on you having a difference of opinion. And to your point, which I was trying to highlight, even in the NOI going to an extreme in language of a time that was clearly quite shocking based on what was common in the country, the bigger point is even that extreme never included what you're seeing now. That's the point you're making right now.
Right, exactly. There was never the ability for them to have any effect on the lives or livelihood of the white people.
And not, but not even above the ability, but even in their rhetoric,
they didn't want
it wasn't included.
They didn't want to. Right.
Right. That's, that's what makes it even a bigger difference. And so, yeah, so that what we're talking about now didn't come out on the show, but in part, to Dr. Kajada and Latrice's credit, they would not agree with that type of, beyond rhetoric, but those type of actions. So, yeah, and I agree.
Right, and I think that the majority of people that support the community, even the allies of the community, would not agree with it, but unfortunately, they have those extremists in that community have the loudest voices, as is the case with most movements. The extremes in the movements tend to have the loudest voices and get heard the most, or even promoted the most, because, I mean, you know, if you want to go to conspiracy, the powers that be see promoting that as a way to discredit the movement, just like with the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, they promoted and highlighted some of the negative and loud stuff that was going on, even though that wasn't the foundation of what the majority of the people who supported believed in. That's what got highlighted, and that tends to happen with most stuff.
But here's the difference. Here's the difference. I think you're saying this to a degree, but here's a nuance. I might be biased because obviously I'm African American or whatever, but in the Black Lives Matter aspects or whatever. So yeah, you get the media tuning in to the extremes, right? And the extremists are partly extreme to get attention. So effectively, they're looking for some attention, and obviously the media highlights it and disregards what the majority of people in that movement might be saying. But here's the difference. The difference is, I think there's a difference. The difference is those things are highlighted to discredit the actual movement. What's happening
right.
here is the extremists are literally getting the movement.
Yeah, true. True. Yeah.
Another thing
that we did discuss.
Over the last couple of years, there's been talks about how, for example, cancel culture isn't a real thing. And for the most times when I've seen those dialogues, I've agreed with them once put in the proper context. In other words, you will see a big call for some type of cancellation via social media, but when you actually look at what was happening to that person, it might have had a momentary effect, but nobody really got canceled. They was able to kind of continue what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so in that sense, cancel culture has kind of proven to be feeble on many occasions. I played a cut on the show by Piers Morgan who highlighted, no, this is moving above and beyond that, and we didn't get into it on the show, which is why you want to do some of this recap. We didn't get into this part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I see the difference in this is, whereas the black people that are part of the Black Lives Matter movement specifically, if that's what they claim to be, they will quickly point out, no, you only show these fringe people who have these extremes, but it has nothing to do with these values that we're pushing here. I think the difference is, what you're saying is, you don't think the majority of people that are part of the LGBTQI community are allies, even feel like these extremists, but the difference is the extremists are actually leading the way, whereas with the Black Lives Matter movement, the media unfairly show the extremists as running the movement. They just show it wasn't in actuality. The difference here is it seems to be in actuality, even though that wouldn't be the majority of the community. I think that's what I hear you saying, and I think I can agree with that. I would probably not fair to have not to have, you know, Sanjata or Latrice on this part just to hear what their perspective was, but I think I could personally agree that that's a clear I would call it a clear distinction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, for what it's worth, Black Lives Matter is probably going to be seen as a small period in history. But, you know, as we move further and further, like the language won't go away, right? We were in the hashtag era. They kind of came up with something and mobilized it, you know, pretty effective for a while or whatever. But in this clear difference is the fact that all of the things that were highlighted that was wrong with the so-called movement that was highlighted as the extremes, you know, have not come to fruition because, again, those extremes were never, in a sense, even running that movement, if you will. And you have, you know, one example here and there of somebody individually going kind of on their own to do something that wasn't really tied to the movement, whereas this clear distinction here is affecting what we see on TV, what's happening in our schools. So it's actually much more effective whether you agree with that or disagree with that effectiveness. I don't think there's any argument in that it's much more effective than any extreme of the Black Lives Matter could ever have been.
Right. Yep, for sure.
Yeah, because we're faced with it, you know, in our lives every day. It was one question I thought that was pretty cool you said to me after the show was I thought Latrice and Dr. Sajada had made a great point about, yeah, it's okay if you choose to leave the school in the event that, for example, Drag Story Hour comes to your school. So because they're not trying to be like the intolerable extremist within the movement, they're fine with you moving. I think you had a question of why should I have to. I would like kind of have you explore that, and then we can get off this thing.
Yeah, it was like, why should I need to leave the school? This is a minority opinion, and then you could equate that to the minority opinion of race when we're trying to integrate schools, and I don't think anybody's saying that children who maybe identify themselves as gay or queer or whatever, trans, are being prohibited from being in the school, and nobody's saying, oh, we don't want our kids around these other kids. We're just saying you know, what is the point of you? And they did make their point. It was pretty valid point. My question was, what is your purpose in having specifically people from this community come in and read Story Hour instead of saying, okay, this is open to the entire community and whoever wants to volunteer can come in and read Story Hour? And then I think the other point that I've made that stood out to me was, it's only really even an issue if you have a man coming dressed as a woman, because that's really, I mean, and it would have to be obvious, like it would have to be to, it, like he would have to have makeup on and maybe even a wig, because if a woman just came dressed so-called as a man, you know, you wouldn't really even notice much of a difference, except maybe, I don't know, she had on some baggy pants, and which it ain't even the popular style right now. So, I mean, you could look at it and say, okay, well, you know. But then that, too, highlights something that goes against what they are preaching, which is binary. You know, they're saying things, we aren't binary. But even in our language, you say a man dressing as a woman. That's just, it's just normal. It's just a binary situation. It's all, I mean, they want to say that there's all these different expressions and whatnot. But even when you try to describe and express what those expressions are, you generally going to come right back to male, female, man,
like the language,
woman.
The language barrier kind of does that, which brings up something I'm glad it reminded me of this. So let's stay on just a little bit longer. This is a bigger point that I wish I would have brought up today and just cut the way the show went. I didn't. Was just this aspect of having all of these different genders and what that actually looks like, from the concept of, you know, we have all these words now, hetero, normative, and things of this way or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you or I might be accused of being relatively intolerant from the standpoint of, you know, we call it the concept of normalizing these things. And I wish I really would have loved to hear their dialogue on the perspective of, you know, at various times, even, for example, homosexuality was at one, you know, I think at one point considered a mental health issue. And so I know people from the LGBT community now love to make the point that, like, dang, it used to be considered a mental health thing. And say it from a standpoint of, yeah, how ridiculous was that? Because it's been so long since that was the case. And and the dialogue I would have liked to have was just to explore that when it comes to gender identity, not so much homosexuality, but when it comes to gender identities and the various identities, that would it be so wrong to suggest, hey, this is not normal? Because it's the exact same thing as all other mental health issues. When you find out, hey, you have something that falls outside of, you know, normal, and it might be anxiety, it might be bipolar disorder and these things. And so, you know, there was a time where if you had mental health issues, our society was so behind the times, we would just call you crazy. But now that we've come to understand these things, we now properly label, you know, anxiety what it is, bipolar what it is, you know, whatever these different mental health conditions might be, we properly label them and now get them help. And we are accepting of them in society. So I would have liked to propose to Latrice and Dr. Sajada the idea of could we not put these gender identities on that type of spectrum to suggest, hey, we can normalize that somebody has this, but there's nothing wrong with calling it a condition, just like there's nothing wrong with calling someone bipolar. Because at the end of the day, if you are born with, for example, male genitalia, right, and within all of you, you think that you are a woman, most men are not going to experience that. And so it can be a condition. It doesn't have to be negative that it's a condition, but it could be a condition that you could easily accept, just like any other mental health issue. I'm pretty sure that makes sense to you because you've heard me say it before.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your thoughts and we'll close it out.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because it's like anything. My question is, how far is this going to go? Right, like you're saying, the vast majority, it's a very tiny percentage of people who experience this, who feel like they were born in the wrong body, right? And we say that a person who if I came up and I said to you tomorrow, Montoya, I'm Barack Obama, right? And I genuinely, in my mind, which is what we call schizophrenia, right?
Right.
You know, we call schizophrenia somebody who believes there's something or somebody that they're not. But for some reason, when it's related to gender and sex, all of a sudden, it's not a problem. It's something that we should embrace and even encourage. And this is the biggest problem I think that the whole movement is going to have. When you come from, when you start talking about, you know, like Latrice said, kids as young as 3 years old recognize that they don't fit in. Well, kids all the time don't fit in, and some, most of the time, you know, feel like they don't fit in some way, form, or fashion. But we don't push them into, you know, what if somebody says, I mean, kids 3, 4 years old, they don't even know if the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus are real or fiction. They can't tell the difference between the two at that point in time. So how are we going to say this 3 or 4 year old now can determine that I'm born a boy, but I want to be a girl, and we're going to support that and start giving them hormones or whatever when they get close to puberty or whatever. And we're talking about, you know, they were talking about puberty blockers. So if you have puberty blockers, they were saying you can't have puberty if you hit puberty. Okay, well, puberty is the time when there's a...
Be clear, I think she said that factually is not... So she was like, that narrative is getting pushed, and those are not actual.
What?
I think I heard her say puberty blockers.
Which narrative?
I'm just highlighting, if I remember what I heard correctly on the show today, I think she broke down that the puberty blockers is not a real thing. That's something that's being falsely pushed in the narrative. So I just wanted to clarify.
Well, she was saying
I think your point is kind of that aside, but you're kind of using it as the example. And I think I heard her say that that's actually been factually disapproved.
Well, I think she was saying that it's not being given to young children, but the ones who are starting to go through puberty, right?
Okay.
And that's how I remember. I'm
not saying I got it right. I just, if I did, I wanted to correct you on it, and you may have it right as well. So I was just doing it based on how I remembered it. So you could have remembered it better than me. If I was right, I didn't want you to, you know, use it incorrectly. But like you said, yeah, it could easily be what you said. Go ahead and make your point. Was still bigger than
right.
that. I was kind of
making my sure. point was my point was yeah. my point was my main point is just like with the whole Dwayne Wade situation, we don't allow kids to make major decisions in any other arena or area of life. We don't allow children to buy tobacco until they're 18. We don't allow them to have alcohol until they're 21. We don't allow them to drive cars until they're 16. We don't allow them to do a whole lot of things. So you know, we talk about different things and rules and laws and stuff that we live under. We live under a lot of laws, rules, and regulations that, in general, are for the protection of society as a whole.
Right.
So why is this any different when you talk about kids saying, "Now I'm confused," and we all know, all of us that have gone through puberty, that is a confusing and, you know, kind of disruptive time because you're going through these hormonal changes that are natural to your body.
Right.
So it takes time to get through that. And, I mean, we can go on and on and on about the things that we don't allow younger people to do because they're not mentally capable.
Yeah, let me jump in real quick because I want to give Sanjata some credit in the sense he says, if I had my own kid going through this, I would point out, you know, all the risks that are associated with saying, hey, I want to, you know, be considered other than my gender is, for example. So I would point out all the risks, try to make sure my child understands it. But in the event that my child's voice still says, this is what I need to feel normal, then he or she, you know, he would do that. And so I want to give credit to that thinking, but I want to relate exactly to the example that you're giving and where I see. I very much see where you're coming from. So like you said, there's these various areas where we've come up with rules. You can't drive to a certain age or whatever. And to your point, and I think this will really make it real clear. So what happens is all of these rules are generally in place because the reality is, you know, I was in the country, so I was driving at 12 in my little country.
Me too.
Or whatever. And so what happens is, to your point, is there is a general rule that comes up for the protection of the society in general. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that there are no exceptions, but to your point, just because you or I were driving on the road at 12, there's not now a movement to say, look at all these kids that can drive at 13. Look at all these kids mm-hmm. at 12. And so should we really have the
rule? And we should not only let them, but we should encourage them, and even younger, to start driving and get on, get on the road, get on 285.
Some of them can do it safely. Cause,
right.
And that's kind of, that's the part that we are not able to make clear. So it's like, what happens is my boy literally taught his little girl how to drive. I was like this, in a lap at 4 years old, driving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a partner who's a truck driver. We literally, because people put crazy stuff on social media, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I literally seen his little girl spin a whole block. She couldn't have been no more than seven.
Mm-hmm.
That bad it could see over the whole thing or whatever. As friends and family, we loved it. Clearly, it's the police and all that. He's going to be a huge risk.
Right.
Whatever. But us loving it individually because he done gave her so much game that she could drive there early. Like, his little girl literally can change the gears in his 18-wheeler. He's just over the top teaching that kind of stuff, and she's that brilliant. Like, the reason I know this is because he put her on film as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving the truck. She changing all them daggum gears.
Right. Right, so, and my uncle taught me the same way how to change gears. My first car I learned how to drive in was the stick shift, and because he taught me how to change gears at 6 or 7 years old, sitting in the passenger seat with my left hand.
Right.
there's exceptions to everything, but we're not gonna
Right. So the point is, I'm not knocking my boy. Ain't nobody knocking your uncle because individually, with inside your own family, you can be just fine. But the issue sometimes with the LGBTQIA community is y'all are trying to say when you have these exceptions, we need to make this normal and applaud it and push for it. No, you handle it individually because the normal world is we not finna let his daughter get on the highway just because she could spin a block at 7 years
old. Exactly. And you and I at 13 driving in our little country towns, not going to get out here on 285. We wouldn't have been ready for that.
Here's the point. Even if we are ready, even if our families let us do it, that our families could not come out and tell the rest of the world it is not right. They gave our 13-year-old, who's quite capable of doing this, a ticket. That is not right.
Right.
That's what's happening with this pushback. We're taking, so it's like not being understanding that. So when you have a gender disorientation or whatever you said it is called, dysphoria or whatever. It's like nobody individually is saying there's an issue, but generally the rest of us, generally speaking, the public is going to be heteronormative without even knowing the word. So, yes, you will be, in a sense, forced to live in that world, but not forced from the standpoint that we should be able to do anything to you, but making room to the entire group doesn't make a lot of sense. We only got 60 seconds. I'll give you the last 60 seconds.
Yeah, the bottom line is just like what Malcolm X said, it's a human rights issue. You know what I mean? Nobody has the right to infringe upon your right as a human being to live without fear of violence or retribution for anything that you, because of who you are, because of your opinions, your ideas. I can't, affect your life and livelihood because of my opinions and my ideas. And that's basically all it is. But, we still have the right to disagree and have different opinions.
Hey, there it is. I'll put this out as well, man. So appreciate you, King.
All right, bro.
All right, later.
Appreciate it. Yep. Peace.